criminal activity. We had several more arrests overnight, bringing our total to approximately, I'm going to say approximately because we're still trying to reconcile numbers, about 29, 25 in the Eaton Fire area and 4 in the Palisades area. I'm going to guess that Chief McDonald may talk about this, but when I was out there in the Malibu area, I saw a gentleman that looked like a firefighter. And I asked him if he was okay because he was sitting down. I didn't realize we had him in handcuffs. We are turning him over to LAPD because he was dressed like a fireman, and he was not. He just got caught burglarizing a home. So that those are issues that our frontline deputies and police officers are dealing with.
Sandy Rios with you. That's, of course, one of the new developments in California. What a great development, right? Thieves are, you know, dressing up as firefighters and looting homes. Gavin Newsom responded to that, saying California will not allow for looting. Well, that reminded me of when Florida was experiencing such devastation after the recent hurricanes, and a local sheriff joined in, and he said, if you go into a house to loot it, we will shoot you. Well, that's a little different than California, and I actually think, man, when you go in and rape people of more of their resources in a disaster like this, you deserve the worst kind of punishment. That's my personal opinion. But, of course, all bets are off in California as they continue to struggle with the fires that have continued this week with the Santa Ana winds. A few days ago, we talked to Mark Larson, who is a radio and television personality who lives in San Diego and is watching all of this. And so today we're going to spend some more time with him, where we're going to talk about the financial costs, the idea of rebuilding, a lot of really interesting, important things. I know we're all concerned as we watch the news and we see that devastation. Our hearts are just broken. And we'll continue our discussion in just a minute. Well, you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7, and this is Sandy Rios. And you know you can call us at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us, and I hope that you will, at sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. afr.net is our home base. You can also go to my website, sandyrios.com, and listen. But Spotify, you know, Amazon, wherever you like to listen, you can listen. Also, you'll find us on all of the social media sites, Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, this is Sanctity of Life Month. And actually, this coming Sunday, if you're listening real time, this is going to be Sanctity of Life Sunday. And I know hopefully a lot of your pastors and churches will raise up the importance of the value of human life. With that in mind, we honor now the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe versus Wade. And sadly, since Roe was overturned, babies' lives are at an even greater risk because the abortion pill accounts for over 60% of abortions, making this tragedy available 24/7. But in the midst of this darkness, there is a light that shines. Preborn has rescued over 300,000 babies. With your help, I might add. And every day, on average, they rescue 200-plus babies. When a woman considering abortion hears her baby's heartbeat and sees her precious baby on ultrasound, her baby's chance of life is doubled. Preborn shares free heartbeats and God's love for mother and child, and they need our help. For just $28, the cost of a dinner for most of us, you can sponsor an ultrasound to introduce a mother to her baby for the very first time. And by the way, 100% of your donation goes towards saving the babies. If you want to help, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, all right, it's time to just sit back and maybe take a pencil and paper, because this is our second conversation with radio and television host from San Diego, Mark Larson, my very good friend, as he describes further what's happening in the fires in California on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Well, each week, his voice is heard on a variety of programs and commercials via hundreds of radio, television, and digital platforms worldwide. Mark Larson's Southern California talk show airs on San Diego's News Radio 600, which is KOGO. It airs weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific. He's been a frequent guest on television and radio. He's a contributor and political analyst on KUSI News Channel 9 in San Diego. He's covered situations all over the world, all over the globe. Mark and I have traveled together in Russia, in China, Vietnam. We're going to talk a little bit about our friendship. But this is part two of our discussion on the fires in California, because he knows a lot about it. And I thought he was the very best person for us to talk to in regard to the California wildfires. We left off the first part of our discussion with this.
You call it powered by equity, and I know that it's been really important for the DWP to put an equity lens on everything.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the number one thing that attracted me to this role. Coming from the communities that I come, seeing what I've seen through my career in utilities and through the military, I've been in the Coast Guard 19 and a half years now, so I got six more months to qualify for my 20 years, which was my original goal.
Wow, congratulations, thank you for your service.
Thank you. It's important to me that everything we do, it's with an equity lens and social justice and making sure that we right the wrongs that we've done in the past from an infrastructure perspective, and that we involve the community in that process. And this utility is serious about it, is authentic about it. And so I'm just super excited to be part of that movement.
The head of the water department, water and power, for water especially, total diversity, equity, inclusion hire, $750,000 a year salary. And the other day at a press conference, she was looking, trying to explain, well, the water, you know, when everybody turns it on all at once, the water pressure, okay, well, that's valid, but it was just a feeble defense. And she said, now we're going to work on getting some more water trucks up there to help the fire truck. You know, now we are? What about having something ready to go a long time? You know, John Cox, who ran for governor here a couple of times against Newsom, wrote an op-ed. I was talking with him over the weekend, had an op-ed in the Washington Times in 2020. And at the time, he was talking about fire safety. And he just said, hey, yeah, let's take the money from this silly high-speed, low-speed rail, which has been $11 billion to nowhere, and put that into having a ready armada, he called it, fire trucks, helicopters, or tankers, that whole thing. And, of course, at the time, it was dismissed. It was just politics. Well, it was valid. It was good thinking. And now you have Governor Newsom and Mayor Bass in L.A., it's laughable if it wasn't so disgusting. They're saying, yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to find out the causes. It's like, look in the mirror. Let's start there.
So. I just read this morning that Newsom signed an executive order, I guess yesterday. And mm-hmm. the executive order, it's going to target price gouging. And the second, okay. And the second one is really interesting. How they're related, I don't know, but he said, halt environmental regulation related to projects to repair, restore, demolish, or replace property or facilities substantially damaged or destroyed as a result of this emergency. In other words, he's going to set aside his environmental regulations. So I don't know if
we know. All the time. We've seen this in fire situations here in San Diego County as well. They'll do this and they'll say, we're going to incentivize. So government will say, we're going to relax some of the regulations to help you build faster. They've got a lot of regulations, which is part of the problem. They've also stuck it to the insurance companies so they couldn't make a profit, so there's fewer companies. So he's saying he wants to relax the environmental regulations, which does, you're right, it reveals that's part of the problem. If you try to build a house in California anywhere and you want to have a nice place in the suburbs that happens to be where you have some trees and maybe you're in the foothills on the way up to the mountains, and It is a major headache. You know, these we had big fires in San Diego County that were devastating and deadly back in 2003 and 2007, one of them very close to where I live. And that was a harrowing time. We can relate when you're out there and you can't see. You're like you're on some other planet somewhere. The people up in Crest, which is about 2 miles from me, it took probably 2 or 3 years, sometimes even five. But usually it was 2-3 years to get things back together. What's happened now with the insurance and everything else, and then because the Pacific Palisades area, and again, there have been several fires in L.A., but the Palisades is the biggest indicator of California opportunities for change because they have the Coastal Commission. They have all these different layers. I was talking to an insurance broker, pretty smart guy, the other day, and he said, you know, this is a 10-year project for these people. So here you have California. What the governor's trying to do is say, look, we're relaxing some of these regulations for you temporarily. They should go back and go through the whole list and say, we haven't helped. We've made housing more expensive. We've had more insurers go out or cut way back. State Farm, which has been, at least they're still in business in the state, but about in the last few months, over the last year, they did not renew 69% of the policyholders they have in the Pacific Palisades. So you think they're going to get coverage now? The state has a thing called FAIR. I always have these acronyms that sound so nice. It's the insurer of last resort, and it basically is a pool within the insurers who are still in California. So some people in places like Pacific Palisades and other remote areas have had to go with that because the state redlined. If you have one fire, they will then go way beyond and say, okay, out of this area now, that's a problem. That's a fire zone. And all of a sudden you go, what, here? So that's why the insurers then can't do business, can't make a profit. So this state fund, if you will, or the one that's overseen by the state of California, has something like $770 million in reserves. They're looking at 60, 70, $100 billion total, probably 50 or 60 billion in Pacific Palisades. So, and then the thing that California being earthquake country, Sandy, is that we have this California Earthquake Authority, too. And if there's a cataclysmic event with earthquakes, we're supposed to rest assured that the premiums we pay, if we have, like I do, the quake policy, which just helps cover supposedly like 80% or whatever. But imagine if it's the big one. And here's the lesson, that the state say, oh, it's all fine, we got it covered. They don't. And this is lesson one about how, again, if you trust in government implicitly and you don't stay involved and elect the wrong people and don't get involved in your neighborhood community, it's a rude awakening when something happens. So it's there should be resignations. The governor ought to say he's going to step aside. He won't. Mayor Karen Bass is. I've never seen so much heat on a politician in the Los Angeles area. But what's exciting about that is people are waking up. People who don't even know who their assembly member is and state senator are now going, what happened here? So that's the good news. That's the pony in the manure pile, as Reagan used to say.
Thank you, Mark, for that overview. And there's let's dig in for just a minute. I was reading in Pacific Palisades that the average tax bill on your home is $17,000. That sounds low, doesn't it? I mean, I think the average home is like $3.1 million, as I read.
Well, remember, we had Proposition 13 back in the 1970s, late 70s, and that did a 1% was the basis for property tax, and they can raise it a little bit every year. So if you've been in your home for a long time, it's still relatively low. If you're going to go buy a new home now that's $1.7 million, well, do the math. You can start with the 1%, and they've got a couple other little extra, cost of living kind of things here. But, you've got people who have been locked into that rate. And of course, at any given year, legislators in Sacramento are trying to figure out how to, as they say, revisit Prop 13, which helped save for seniors in California in the 70s and 80s. They saved their homes. So they're constantly looking for this. And I'm just seeing the LADA, Nathan Hochman, who is one of the good guys. He got elected and the Soros-appointed Gascon got bumped out. He's out there talking tough. He said, hey, if you're out there looting, if you're a criminal, and they'll go after people if they did criminal things in public office, too. So
Oh, that's good.
There's some bright spots here, but property taxes are, we've got high sales tax rates. We have high income tax rates. We have lots of regulations. So
it's terrible.
The dream is in cinders right now.
Some of you, as I understand, are paying, more than 50%.
Well, we expect more for our taxes. That's the big discussion, exactly. Other than being responsible, it's like I thought, because people say, well, taxes are higher, but we have sunshine, it's California, and there's the surf, and it's really wonderful. And then you're paying higher taxes and much higher cost of living, so it's a trade-off. Well, now you're saying, well, what do you do with my tax money? That's another big rumbling right now. People of all walks of life saying, where's the money been going? And there's a lot of explaining that needs to be done by government officials.
And the point that I really wanted to make was, in Tennessee and in the area where the hurricane hit and people were so devastated and are still devastated, they're getting tax bills, Mark, saying you're going to have to pay up. They don't have their homes anymore. Everything's destroyed. And that's what I'm thinking. You've got people. I know there are wealthy people in Pacific Palisades, but there is a limit still. That they're going to have property taxes. Either that's going to be a huge loss of income to the state, and really that's going to affect the federal government's bottom line, too. And also you think about the jobs that are lost, the enormous devastation. I've heard, estimates on the cost, and I think you gave an estimate earlier. And my feeling is that the cost is going to be so exponentially greater than anything we could even imagine right now. That's my personal thought on this.
Keep in mind, the California budget, Newsom just put out his new proposed budget. That was before the fire, like just a week or so ago. That's going to have to be revised big time. But the state has, it's like $330 billion with a B. We're talking $100 billion plus with fire damage here. I mean, the numbers, and I know the feds are supposedly going to throw in some money. That's our money laundered through Washington. You've got Newsom now grandstanding and picking fights with Trump, and Trump picking fights with Newsom. They'll play nice when it's like, please give us some money. So we know that dance.
Trump basically confronted Newsom on his management of fires. And that was like, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? He said, this is a mess. He said, I think he said Norway, or he gave some other forest kind of filled European country. Yeah. And he said, they manage very well. This is what they do. This is what you need to do. And he was being very respectful. Of course, Gavin ignored him. And so the President Trump is blaming him for this, and I don't blame him. And so I want to play something for you. I've got a couple of clips I wanted to run by you. Gavin Newsom is doing a video meeting with President Biden and Kamala Harris. And this is very interesting because he's feeling the pinch. As you know, people are criticizing him, and he's not used to that, not in this way. And so this is basically what he said. This is clip 7, Adam.
I ask you, we've got to deal with this misinformation. There are hurricane force winds of mis and disinformation lies. People want to divide this country. And we're going to have to address that as well. And it breaks my heart as people are suffering and struggling that we're up against those hurricane forces as well. And that's just a point of personal privilege that I share that with you, because it infects real people that are out there, people I meet every single day, people the mayor's been meeting with, and they're having conversations that are not the typical conversations you'd have at this time. And you wonder where this stuff comes from. And it's very damaging as well. But we're here to get the job done.
Oh, so this is misinformation. He's complaining about that. Now, that sounds very sympathetic. Mm. I mean, he's really good, isn't he, Mark? He's really good at twisting and turning things. He should be a defense attorney. Yeah. I think he should be a defense attorney.
Well,
he's got misinformation
thing. This is what we heard this from the Biden administration. Newsom goes to that often. If it's something that they're uncomfortable with, they say, we've got to fight misinformation, says the people who are often using misinformation and making it political. Newsom said over the weekend that Trump's making this whole issue of the fire damage and what's next political. And then Newsom has people go for fire relief to a particular website, and it happens to lead to his very political website, because he's trying to dress up for 2028. I feel sorry for Gavin, because, tongue in cheek, because he thought by now we'd have President Harris being inaugurated next week. He'd have some cushy gig if he didn't get the number two spot. Then, you know, he would have a cabinet position. All bets are off. So he's in a better position than Karen Bass, the mayor of L.A., only because he's Gavin and he's got a he's been fighting other states' battles for a long time for political reasons. But this they always go to misinformation when they want to shut up dissent, and I think that's the ultimate. Like, hey, you better be careful what you're saying. Well, then they better be more transparent in what they're sharing.
Plus, he's accusing people that are complaining of being political, and of course, he's talking about President Trump. I'm sure in part, and so Andy, no, you just mentioned this, but I'll just put some flesh on it. Andy Note tweeted earlier a couple of days ago that Newsom went on this Pod Save America, which is a leftist podcast, and asking people to donate to Act Blue. Act Blue is the left of the left. It's that, I mean, that is a political thing, and that money's going to go right to him for re-election, as you just said. So, let me play something else for you. You mentioned that people are getting upset, and I want to play, I'm sure you saw this. This is a woman who approached Gavin Newsom. I couldn't believe she got so close to him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, this is, I think her name is Rachel Darvish.
This is, here she is. She's approaching Gavin Newsom. He's trying to get in his car, and here she comes. She's just a citizen. She's just a mom. And this is what she says.
Governor, you got a second? Governor, I live here, Governor. That was my daughter's school, Governor. Please tell me what you're going to do. I'm not going to hurt him, I promise.
I'm literally talking to the president right now to specifically answer the question of what we can do for you and your daughter.
Can I hear it? Can I hear your call? Because I don't believe it.
I'm sorry. There's literally, I've tried five times. That's why I'm walking around to make the
call.
Why
is the president not taking your call?
Because it's not going through. So
why?
I have to get cell service.
So let's get it. Let's get it. I want to be here when you call the president.
I appreciate it. I'm doing that right now. And it's to immediately get reimbursements, individual assistance, and to help you. I'm devastated for you. I'm so sorry, especially for your daughter. I have four kids.
Everyone who went to school there, they lost their homes. They lost two homes because they were living in one and building another. Governor, please tell me, what are you going to do with the president right now?
We're getting the resources to help rebuild.
Why was there no water in the hydrants, Governor?
That's all, literally.
Is it going to be different next time?
It has to be. Has to be, of course.
What are you going to do?
I'm doing
to fill the hydrants. I would fill them up personally, you know that.
I literally have
I would fill up the hydrants myself.
I understand.
But would you do that?
I would do whatever I can.
But you're not! I see the... Do you know there's water dripping over there, Governor? There's water coming out there. You can use it.
I appreciate it. I'm going to make the call to address everything I can right now, including making sure people
are safe.
I'd
like to make sure you do. Can I have an opportunity to at least tell people you're doing what you're saying you're doing? Could somebody have a contact? Can I have your contact information?
Right there.
All right. Mark, you mentioned her name, so you must know something more about this. She's pretty bold. And, of course, he's lying.
Yeah, Rachel, I believe it's Rachel Darvish. Her last name is Darvish. And she was on the TV station I work with here, KUSI Channel 9. She was on yesterday morning with one of the anchors, and one of the questions they asked her was, well, did the governor's office follow up? They promised to give you a contact. She said, yeah, they did get me a contact, and they had a couple of conversations. But okay, that's the least they could do. When she came up from across the street, she's got a mask on because, you know, the air quality has just been horrible. Sees Newsom about ready to get into his SUV, and he's got security detail, probably CHP, because the Highway Patrol is like his Secret Service. And that's when she says, I won't hurt him, because, you know, they're looking like, who's this lady rushing up here? And she said some people were trolling her, saying that they thought it was staged. It was not staged at all. She just thought, hey, there's the governor. I'm going to go up and get in his face and get some answers. So she got a mask on. Newsom's there looking like he just went to REI or Dick's Sporting Goods. He got a new shirt to look like he's been out doing physical things, you know, in the wilderness. He's got the aviator sunglasses on like President Biden would wear. So, and she pointed out the thing I was thinking when I saw that. She mentioned this yesterday, that you think he could, you know, we're talking heartfelt things. She's emotionally just bearing her soul and heart. And he's still got the glasses on, looking cool. And just
backing away.
part of that.
Backing away.
The most telling part of that. Yeah, he keep walking away, and she wouldn't let him go away. But then when he said, I'm talking with the president right now. She says, let me hear it. I love that. I wish more reporters would do it. Let me hear it.
Yes.
Well, I'm not, I've been trying to get through to him. Typical Newsom. I'm talking to him right now, and then not. Meet the Press on Sunday. He's talking to the reporter, and he alluded to that, thinking, I think, that the NBC reporter would actually dig more deeply. He didn't. You see, that I was, the reporter said, when I saw you on the side of the road, you were talking with the president. And I think it was that moment. And he said, yeah, I was on a satellite phone trying to get the connection. But he's had a cell phone at the time. He's on the phone, satellite phone. I don't think so. There's just so much in that. Gavin Newsom's, you know, arrogance, all about the way he looks, the way he comes off, and just the shiny smile. And you could say, well, he's a good-looking guy. Great. That's not what we hire for governors. He's been a very ineffective, to say the least, governor. But, man, the lies, and it goes into defense. I have four kids. First thing most Californians thought about was, oh, you mean the four kids who were in private school when you said, governor, during COVID, your Zoom parents, because they're locked out of the schools just like others are. No, they had been there for months in their private school, and he's out there saying they're suffering like everybody else. He does this time and time again, and this was the most, if you want to see what Gavin Newsom is really all about, view that clip that you just played, and it says it all. And he's trying to rehabilitate himself now by talking tough.
That reminds me of that shot that people found during COVID when he was shutting everything down mercilessly. And he was in this fancy restaurant eating with with no mask. None of them had masks on. And so I just wanted to underscore what you're saying about his hypocrisy. Now, you mentioned this earlier, and there's one other thing I want to get to talk to you with before we say goodbye, Mark. You mentioned that you think Californians may shift their... This might actually get their attention. Now, you've been around the people. You watch this. You do talk radio. Do you really think, finally, that Californians are going to be, not voting for Karen Bass, not voting for Gavin Newsom and the rest of them? Really? Seriously.
Well, we see signs. It's happening in local skirmishes. The election we just had, Proposition 36, was overwhelmingly from left and right and center approved. That was the bill to fix Prop 47 that Newsom still likes. Newsom was trying to run against Prop 36. Prop 36 is a fix on many of the problems from this Proposition 47. 10 years ago, it was sold as a safe communities initiative. That opened the doors for easier looting. It opened the doors for you could steal less than $950 a day. It probably not. It won't be a felony. It'll be a misdemeanor. We're going to keep the prisons from getting overcrowded. So people woke up to that. Congressional districts swung to the right this time. You have a lot of local districts, school boards. People starting to go, we got to change this. So, and I've always said for the last few years that the crime and the homeless issue, because in fact, a lot of these things, you'll find these fires in L.A. We haven't talked about the climate change part of this much, but they keep trying to say, well, it's different. No, we've had year-round fire season for years. And they will find out that there will be none of these fires that started like the climate changed and it's just going to erupt. One of them is already most likely a homeless encampment fire. Probably more than that, you're going to have arson. You're going to have maybe a downed power line. But they're all going to be non-climate things. They're all going to be human nature or infrastructure issues. So they can't pin it on climate. People are wising up to that. So the homeless problem connects to this, the vagrants on the streets, the billions going to that. In fact, Karen Bass had diverted some of the firefighting money that she cut to some homeless programs that weren't necessarily really helping the people on the streets with some tough love. So I thought that it'd be the homeless and the crime issue that would get people to wake up. I think this really accelerates it, what's happened with fires now. And again, even last weekend, one of my friends in Illinois said, hey, is this true? And they were looking at some app that said, ooh, flurry of earthquakes in California could be a precursor of the big one. Well, we get microquakes all the time, as you know. But that, again, makes people think, as I mentioned, about the earthquake authority run by the state with the different insurers. Is this that would be much more wide-ranging than these fires, most likely. This is a colossal failure in management, protection, basic services of government. So if this isn't a wake-up call for Californians, regardless of party, I don't know what is. Really.
Well, an attack
by a foreign hostile.
You know, I could just say, to go back to the personal, Mark, I remember you love California, and I don't blame you. My husband loves California, and I did too. It's just that I saw it go south, and I didn't want to live there because I didn't have any idea this was going to happen. But you have bad governments, and you have bad situations, and you find yourself in a mess. But California on its own is the most glorious state. The way God made it is just fabulous. But I remember a conversation we had several years ago where you were getting so discouraged. I mean, you love California, but I think the taxes had gone up so high. So this is kind of like, in a horrible way, kind of bringing optimism. Are you saying that to you and to others?
Yeah, it is. Optimism through the pain, you know, and that's life, and that's there's a lot of biblical connections too, you know, like grace and like endure it, and it's going to get better, and grace will be sufficient. But right now, you know, the people we elect in our form of government are accountable to us. They're not kings and queens, and a lot of them have acted like it here in California for a long time. And again, this is going to be a budget buster. We saw this with a lot of what happened in the fires here in San Diego County, 2003 and 2007, that the power company then came back and said, well, we need to fix our power lines that started fire number one or whatever. And we've been paying extra, the highest utility rates in the country, paying for the sins of that company and those decisions for years. So, you know, pick a category and you'll find all these things that are just there making it more difficult for everyday people to raise families, you know, be secure, be happy, give to church and charity and so forth. That's the other thing, though. The charitable outreach here is pretty phenomenal. You got people coming together from various faith groups. You have people from different community organizations, and they're all, you know, there's some great ones, and you and I have worked with many of these kinds of nonprofits, and there's some other ones that maybe need to get better. And I think right now, under the scrutiny, those people who are doing, fundraising or especially materials drives, they're all being really careful to be really good because the state's under such a magnifying glass now. But it's bringing people together in weird ways, and that's a plus in pain.
Absolutely. Is there any particular help organization that you could recommend or that you would dare to do that people could channel help through?
I know that the Dream Center in L.A. is one that's working as kind of a hub. That's working well. A lot of my Christian ministry friends are helping get things through there. I do have, if you go over to my Facebook at Mark Larson Media, I've got a link there. The L.A. Daily News had a really good roundup of really essential organizations there.
Okay.
The Red Cross does a good job. Salvation Army does a good job. But there's a lot of locals that are mobilizing. You can find those on there, but it's also on my Facebook at Mark Larson Media.
Okay. All right. And let me remind people or tell them for the first time, I guess, and if you want more information about Mark or even to listen to him in California, there's a link to do that at marklarson.com. Remember, he's on the air at COGO. It's News Radio 600. And that he's on from 6 to 8 Pacific time, but there's so much stuff. Mark has done so much through the years. His voice is everywhere.
There's podcasts available, you know, anytime. You can listen anytime, 24/7, just like yours.
How clever of you.
A beautiful sunny day. Again, it was 37 this morning in my house. It'll be 70 today. And I just looked at these red flag warnings that are going to be on now through Wednesday. And the map right now shows San Diego looks more vulnerable than L.A. on this round. So here we go.
So here we go. And they say, I just read that Tuesday is going to be the worst day for all those wins. So we need to continue to pray for you guys. And I certainly do. And just our heart breaks. It looks like a nuclear holocaust. It really does, Mark.
Yeah, it does.
And it's time. It's a sobering thing. I think God is trying to get the attention of this nation in many, many ways. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got it for most of us. Well, Mark, thanks. And when you get that book, then you have to talk to me and we'll have some fun on another show.
That's my slow simmering book I've been working on, as you know. And I appreciate your occasional prodding. When's it coming out? I'm working. I'm writing as fast as I can, which is not fast enough.
Consider yourself prodded. Well, you have a lot to talk about. You just can't say everything. You got to. There's a limit. But, Mark, it's always a pleasure. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your friendship, and we'll talk again soon. And God bless you and your family, and keep you safe out there.
You too.
Thank you.
All right. Love you. Thank you.
Love you too. Okay, bye-bye. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, this is Sanctity of Life Week, and many of you will be thinking about that. Your attention will be drawn to it, and I hope that's the case. There are so many other avenues on the abortion issue. I don't want it to become cliche, and yet I think in many circles it has. You know, this many babies, abortion, like cliche words, which are not cliche. That represents death of an individual baby that God crafted. It is a tragedy and continues to be. And if you'd like to give in a bigger way than the $28 that one ultrasound costs, a leadership gift, which is tax deductible of $5,000, will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours. And you can probably count on rescuing about 200 babies. So all you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy and make that very special donation in honor of those babies that have been killed. We just have to stop this, don't we? We know that God does not lose count. He knows the number of hairs on our head, and he certainly knows every baby that's aborted. And if we can do something to stop it, I think we should, don't you? Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
What we know right now is that the incident occurred, started here, and about 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, a suspect was detained over in Woodland Hills area by citizens.
So someone purposely set the Kenneth fire?
At this time, that's what we believe, yes.
Do you know how or why they did that?
That I don't know.
Is this a crime scene right now?
Yes.
So everything's closed off?
It's being investigated as a crime.
All right, there's more to that story, actually. There's a video of this where citizens find this guy. See him setting the fire. You can actually see it in the video where he's actually, like, shooting these flames. And the citizens, you can't see everything because it's on their street. It's their homes. They come out of the woodwork. There's, like, three or four big guys, and they take him down. Well, now we know more than what that report said. I was reading that he has... This illegal immigrant has on his person a debit card from the UN. He's got all kinds of credentials that were given to him, obviously, from other sources. We don't know. I don't know if anybody's reporting yet. Maybe by the time you hear this, they will. Where he's from, what his history is, what he's doing here. But he is intentionally setting fires. And we're finding that that's the case. I didn't talk with Mark about that for various reasons. But I'm just telling you, that is a huge problem, the problem of sabotage. They've had lots of these fires are being started, yes, by homeless, but also intentionally being set. And so right now the devastation is so incomprehensible. They're actually putting an online database so that people who are evacuated can go and see if their homes are damaged or destroyed. More and more people, by the time you hear this, there'll probably be more than 24 people dead. And there are crews from 9 other states. There at this point, there's 1,354 fire engines, 84 aircraft, and more than 14,000 personnel, including some newly arrived firefighters from Mexico. Officials are warning that the ash can contain lead, arsenic, asbestos, and other harmful materials. And about 150,000 people in Los Angeles County remained under evacuation orders, with more than 700 residents taking refuge in 9 shelters. That's LA County, of course. That doesn't even include some of the other places where this is happening. So that's kind of an update on what's going on there. And speaking of illegal immigrants, I just want to juxtapose this with one more clip before I bring Bruce into this discussion. This is a Fox Business report that just came out more recently. And I want you to hear what California is doing about their illegal immigrants. The latest, anyway. This is clip 13.
But the thing is, for sanctuary cities and states, they complain about the cost, but they continue to add services. I want to show you California. As of yesterday, California has added a health care benefit for migrants. They are now going to extend free health care to migrants between the ages of 26 and 49. That's going to cover 700,000 additional people and cost the state $2.6 billion each year. Now, that's added onto California's deficit, which is already $68 billion.
So there you have it. So they're so brilliant out there. They just keep up, you know, burning their money up literally. Now they're giving free health care. I think they have been doing this since somehow this is an expansion to all illegal immigrants 26 to 49. Is there any reason why do you think people are coming across the border right now? Bruce, my husband, Bruce, honey, thank you for joining me. I know you have a lot of thoughts about this. You lived out there. You loved California. And you saw this start to happen when you were there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Immigration policy in California has made no sense to me since I was there 20 years ago. You knew people were being let in. And the government would talk about a certain number of people, like there's 11 million illegals in the entire country. And I could tell you there were probably 11 million just in California. And what you would see is the benefits card, like the welfare card, I'll call it, excuse my political incorrectness, but the welfare card was very distinctive. It was a red, white, and blue color. And you'd go to Costco, and you'd stand in line, and there'd be someone in front of you with a flat cart, and the person would have 20 cases of soda, water, food. In other words, they're running a business. They're reselling these things. And they would get up there to pay, and when they would open their wallet, you would see their California welfare card in their wallet, and then they would pay for these goods in cash. So you knew exactly what was going on. They're not paying taxes on any money they're making. That's why they're paying cash, and they're soaking off the government of California with their welfare card.
So now they're getting free health care. I think they get free college.
Yeah.
They get free everything. And so let's talk about money for a second. I talked to Mark about the whole business of taxes. These people are still on the hook for their taxes on these homes. Yeah. And they're not all wealthy people. And what even wealthy people have trouble paying like $17,000 a month for nothing, which is what they're going to have to do.
Well, Sandy,
$17,000 a year. Sorry, $17,000 a year.
Well, Sandy, Mark brought up a good point, I think, when he talked about the type of the demographics of the people that were living in Pacific Palisades and the surrounding areas. Many of them bought their homes many, many years ago when they were maybe one-eighth of the value that they are now. And because of California's tax system, they're only paying property taxes according to the original value of their home.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, and so you're running these deficits. But where I want to go with this is one of the big problems, I think, if Los Angeles tries to rebuild is – first off, I don't know how in the world the insurance companies are going to afford the claims that are going to be made because, you know, you have to remember in California, it's not just the homes that are being destroyed. People out there, many, many people drive very expensive cars. Many people have very expensive artwork, personal property that's worth tons of money. So you're not just talking about the houses that are going to be claimed for insurance, but other things. And when if you've underinsured your home, which many people do because the premiums are so high, you know, they have a house that they bought for, say, $500,000 that's now worth $5 million, and they've only insured it for $1 million. Well, even if you collect on your claim and you only get $1 million, quote unquote, you only get $1 million, you are not going to be able to rebuild in Pacific Palisades. So I'm telling you, I don't know where this is all going to go as far as a rebuild.
But, well, of course, they're asking for money from the federal government, and the current Congress, the new Congress, and the current administration that will be in place maybe even by the time people hear this, but just days away, are not inclined to just pour money into California now. People are very compassionate about what's happened to people, but the money does not go to help them. The money doesn't go to get water. The money doesn't go to reforest, right, you know, to clear out the brush. It doesn't go there. So how should we as taxpayers, you know, thousands of miles away, really be required to come in and bail them out?
And you know, that's where
which has happened over and over again.
That's where the pulling at your heartstrings is so tough, because you want to help, but then you see what goes on out there with the government. Like, this is to me, this sums up what is wrong with California policies and their governance. Is you've probably heard that billions of gallons of water are available to California that are taken, you know, they come down the river, and the Colorado River is the main source of water in California. But billions of gallons of this water is being diverted from going down the remainder of the river towards Los Angeles because of a fish called the Delta smelt.
Yeah, what is that
and
all about?
If you look at it, it looks like a minnow. Now, the California commissioned a study in 2021 to count the number of smelt that were in that area. In 2016, they located 8 smelt. In 2015, they located 5 smelt. They have not seen any smelt since then, and they're diverting all this water. And so, I mean, if that doesn't make you crazy, you know, if I'm living in California, I don't care how left wing I am, if my house is just burned down because there's no water because they're diverting it for a fish that doesn't exist, I am very angry.
Oh, me too. Bruce, you know what this reminds me of very much? Because, look, even if we don't have $3 million homes or $5 million, we're not rich like some of these folk. Most of us aren't. I think all of us living in this country have a stuff problem. We like to buy. We enjoy our stuff. We like our things because we have a lot of things. Even if we're poor, we have more things than people overseas. And it reminded me very much of what I've been reading in Luke. I've been going through the parables and just kind of meditating on them. And this is one that Jesus told that reminds me of what's happening right now in California. And that is about Jesus. It said, he told them this story. The farm of a certain rich man produced a terrific crop. He talked to himself, "What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest." And then he said, "Well, here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll gather in all my grain and goods, and I'll say to myself, 'Self, you've done really well. You've got it made, and you can now retire. Take it easy and just have the time of your life.'" And just then God showed up, and he said, "Fool, fool, tonight you die, and your barn full of goods, who gets it?" That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. So I think, you know, it may not be a direct correlation, but the point is Jesus is trying to teach us that we cannot be so boastful, trust our things, think because we have a lot of money in the bank, that we have a beautiful home, a great car, a great job, that this is forever. These things come from the hand of God. He blesses, he allows blessing on the godly and the ungodly. I do think he blesses the godly more, that he promises to do that, but I'm going to get into that right now. Nevertheless, people like Bruce was talking prior to him really knowing the Lord, he was very blessed. He just said that. And he said that maybe on the other broadcast he had. He thought, you know, he was really And I was too. California is so mesmerizing. It sucks you into a way of life of beauty and really, I think, narcissism and indulgence. And even if you don't have a lot of things, you love you. You don't want to do anything meaningful because you have to go to the beach. You know, we used to have trouble with attendance, Bruce, in church when I was out there. That's one of the things that shocked me. I'm a Midwest girl. I'm used to, you know, church, rain, snow, sleet, or hail. That was the center of my life. And I was the choir director in a couple of churches out there. And so I would go, and I had to beg people to come to church and sing because if the weather was pretty, they didn't feel like coming. So there's this thing that can be as important as the things that you have. And that God would say, like he did to the rich young ruler, you fool. You fool. Tonight, your life may be required of you. And then what have you stored in heaven? So whether your time or your things. Anyway, anything else, honey, that you want to comment on before we say goodbye?
Well, I just, not to get too technical, but one of the other things that I think frustrates us when we watch this situation is these fires are not unanticipatable. The factors that cause them are always the same. And the first one is that California, because of their environmentalism, refuses to weed out the dead forest that...
The brush.
It acts as kindling, basically. If you ever walk up in a trail in California in the summer, you'll just hear things cracking under your feet. So you've got that. In elevations, there's always... lightning strikes. And when lightning hits something like that, of course it's going to start on fire. But then you hear, oh, the Santa Ana winds made this fire so bad. And for those of you who have not lived in California, you may think, oh, they didn't know what a Santa Ana wind was or that it was going to hit. But actually, that's not the case. The Santa Ana winds happen every year. It's nothing more than a weather factor. What happens is the desert, the Mojave Desert, that's to the east of Los Angeles, they call it the Great Basin. It gets very, very hot, temperatures in the hundreds. The pressure of the air gets very high. Then you have the Sierra Nevada mountains that are in between the coastline and the basin. And the wind starts to begin because of the heat. It starts the wind blowing. The wind hits the mountains, and then it starts funneling through the canyons. And those canyons lead right to the coast where these fires are.
So they go over the houses to the coast, right?
Because it's lower pressure near the coast, and the high pressure is looking for a place to go. And as those winds go through the canyons, they warm. Now you get kindling, dry forest, and hot winds.
And no water.
And no water. Mm-hmm. And it's very predictable that these kind of fires are going to happen. And that Karen Bass, who was aware that all these factors were lining up, decided to go to Ghana for some presidential inauguration instead of staying in Los Angeles is, in my mind, criminal.
I just have one final question. Do you think that any of those people that we see interviewed roller skating down the boardwalk could explain what you just explained in California? Who was the president of the United States? Oh, when was the Civil War? No, I don't think so. That's part of the problem. There's an ignorance of even topography, an ignorance of history. And that's true of all of us. But California, they started it first. So now they're reaping some of the bitter, bitter fruits of that. And no one is happy about that. No one. Well, honey, thank you for joining me. Appreciate it.
Oh, again, our hearts to the people of California.
Yeah. And if I do think that it's a good thing, you know, to try to give. I don't like the Red Cross. I'm just telling you up front. I would not give money to them. And I don't like the Salvation Army anymore either. So because both have gone really off the rails. I think we'd like to suggest, you know, one of the ministries that we're very familiar with, and Bruce has helped, he's actually volunteered with them, is 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope is actually, they're not there on the ground now, but they are cooperating with people on the ground, and we know that you can trust your money with them. So go to 8 Days of Hope and give generously if you're able to do that to help the people of California. All right, well, I want to thank you for listening, and before we go, of course, I want to thank Timothy Plan because they sponsor our show. And they help you learn how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.